claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
When you attend a funeral, it is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I'm very pleased to have as my featured guest Kelly Watt, who will join us at the bottom of the hour after the first break. Kelly's done brilliant research on Sandy Hook, and today she has other contributions to make. She's a wonderfully proactive investigator who reaches out to find out what's really going on. In the meanwhile, I want to give you an update on some of the major stories of the day, where we can consider these developments in the context of a far-reaching analysis by Jim Stone, which I think has it spot on, but which are going to, many of you are going to regard as providing a very grim prognosis for what is to come. We have nearly 80,000 shipping containers piled high in the port of Savannah as a supply chain crisis shows no sign of stopping. The port of Savannah is overwhelmed with shipping containers. There are 80,000 stacked up on the decks. The head of the Georgia Port Authority said some ships were waiting 9 days before getting a slot to unload. The port of Savannah, like other ports around the United States, is approaching a crisis point. It has nearly 80,000 containers, 50% more than normal, stacked up. The person who oversees the port said he's never had the yard as full as this. About 700 have been left there for a month or more. In September, 4,500 sat in the port for weeks, waiting to be collected by the trucks or boats to take them to their next destination. But alas, these issues have become common in ports around the world. After falling shipping demand in the first half of 2020, a surge at the end of the year led to delays, port traffic jams, and blockages across the supply chain. A lack of shipping containers and dock workers made it worse. Now containers are getting jammed up in ports because of both rising demand and a continuing shortage of staff to unload them and take them to their destination. Around the world, Other containers are stuck at sea on ships waiting to find a spot in port. Insider Grace Kay reported that earlier in October, nearly 50,000 were stuck off the coast of Southern California. The traffic jam in Savannah shows no sign of easing up, said Griff Lynch, who oversees the port and is executive director of the Georgia Ports Authority. He has had to force some ships to wait at sea for more than 9 days, recently had more than 20 ships in a queue. The supply chain is overwhelmed and inundated. It's not sustainable at this point. The fact 4,500 containers sat for weeks in September was bordering on ridiculous. The immediate concern is dealing with supply chain issues ahead of the busy holiday shopping season. Experts say these issues are set to continue well into next year and beyond. There's no indication it'll get better by 2022, said Dave Marquette, longtime retail and supply chain expert from Kantar Consult. Things are really bad. It's like a huge rubber band that keeps getting stretched further and further. Now, I wish I could tell you that I thought this is merely circumstantial. We're getting rampant theft, ongoing supply chain disruptions, and drugstore shelves in New York City, for example, which are barren. We were certain at some point the failure of left-wing mayors and prosecutors to go after rampant criminal activity such as shoplifting was going to turn into a major problem for the urban centers these lunatics govern. That day has now arrived. This is a Mike Adams report, and I think he's also got it spot on. And here's my concern. It appears to me the master plan for the great research for the Rothschild banking empire to seize control of the world, the entirety of planet Earth, has three stages. The fake pandemic was merely to induce a false belief in the mind of the public, a mass illusion that their lives were in jeopardy if they didn't take measures to protect themselves, such as the vaccines. But we know the vaccines are, in Sherry Tenpenny's words, perfectly designed killing machines, where Luc Montagnier has been quoted as saying that everyone who takes a jab will be dead within 5 years. Now, it may not be quite that bad. It may be it'll only be 10. Maybe some are going to survive. It appears there's been a mixture of different vaccines that are being used on an experimental basis where some in various areas, possibly including the Midwest, have only been given saline solutions. The point I'm coming at is the following. We know the masks are contraindicated. They're bad for your health. The depleted oxygen you're recycling kills brain cells. Unlike skin cells, brain cells do not regenerate. They're also, because of the depleted oxygen, putting a strain on your cardiovascular system. There's a surmise that this is going to lead to an increased dementia, that we're likely to have an epidemic that's going to break out in the very near future. So the masks are killing us slowly. The vaccines are killing us far more rapidly, and anyone who has any doubt about the seriousness of the situation needs to contemplate the following. The World Health Organization maintains its own database. This is separate and apart from the CDC, which is constantly manipulating and revising to downplay deaths and damage caused by the vax and to hype, exaggerate grossly the harm of remaining unvaccinated, where they've used such shoddy practices as not even qualifying someone as vaccinated until 2 weeks after they've taken the vax, knowing that most of the damage shows up within a 2 week interval. So that's a way in which they can increase the number of the unvax being hospitalized or having died and minimize the damage induced by the vax. Well, the WHO has a chronicle of over 2 million adverse effects that have been brought about since the jabs were introduced, 2 million. And they fall across a range of 24 different kinds of physical disability, from brain damage to heart attacks to blood clots to a host of other issues. I mean, it's absolutely stunning. Over 2 million. Now, interestingly, and I have this on my blog at jamesfetzer.org, 70% of those over 2 million come from women, females, over 1.5 million of the two. Only 30% from males. So it appears these are designed to have a particularly powerful adverse effect on females, no doubt because they are the reproducting units. They are the humans who give birth. And remember, this is a massive depopulation agenda. It looks as though the Georgia Guidestone represent their ideal goal of only an Earth only populated by 500 million, 500 million, when the Earth population today has 8 billion. That gives you an idea of the audaciousness, the ambitions of this sadistic genocidal agenda. Completely stunning. Now, the report here also observed the following, and this is in many ways what is most startling. We know the pandemic isn't real because there's been no increase in mortality. This was true from the beginning when I published my very first study about the coronavirus on jimtheconspiracyguy.com back on 24 May 2020. I'd already taken a look at the European mortality tables at the suggestion of Ole Domegaard, and there was no increase, no spikes, which would have been impossible had the pandemic been real and bringing about lots of deaths. We had more recent confirmation this is the case from a study from Johns Hopkins that slipped through the cracks, showing there'd been no increase in any age group in comparison to the last couple of past years. No increase. That means a pandemic is fraudulent. It's reinforced by the fact there's not been an increase in oxygen tank sales, which would have skyrocketed if the hospitals were full of patients who needed oxygen, nor IV drips and stands, same rationale. And where it turns out the life insurance industry, whose profit margin and risk of bankruptcy is contingent upon having accurate assessments of death rates in various categories, have not, I repeat, have not, change their premiums for life insurance. Now, that, in my opinion, is a sure sign this whole thing is a sham. So we know the pandemic is a fraud, but we know that the vax is real. Most of those who have taken the vax have done so in the sincere but false belief that it's going to be beneficial. We're now getting reports about the ingredients of the vax, which are horrifying. They even include little parasites, weird-looking things. I have also videos and story reflecting that on my blog, again, at jamesfetzer.org. Once you see what's in the vax, you're not going to want to put that into your body or any other that of any other living thing. I mean, there are all kinds of weird aspects to this. But the bottom line here is, while the masks are killing us slowly and the vaccine more rapidly, it's going to be the case that constraining the food supply, mass starvation is a mechanism for bringing about most of the deaths that are going to occur here. And that's why I'm looking at the supply chain problem. That means they're cutting off supplies. Other things are happening along this line. Farmers are being paid to plow their crops under by the government. We had a Newsom out in California draining the reservoirs. Two reservoirs were at historic highs. They had sufficient water supply to sustain a 5-year drought. Well, we couldn't have that happen because agriculture in Southern California is a breadbasket of America, just as Ukraine has been the breadbasket for Russia, which is why Zbigniew Brzezinski in his book, The Grand Chessboard, suggested that if Ukraine could be pried away from Russia, that would greatly weaken the bear, and why the Obama administration, Victoria Nuland, and all that went about using vast sums of taxpayer money to bring about a revolution there to install a puppet government. All this is very, very bad. But the point I'm coming down to is Newsom drained those reservoirs, let the water flow out into the Pacific Ocean. So now they're at historic lows. This guy is despised by virtually everyone in California. The idea he could have survived the recall is simply absurd, other than because the Secretary of State introduced a new voting technique where you could print your own ballot at home that appears to me to have unlimited potential for theft of election and where it's virtually impossible to audit. That's what the Democrats are bringing us. So, you know, they went massively out of their way. And again, I think that the scope of the theft of the 2020 election was so immense, so encompassing, it had to have been financed not just by Mark Zuckerberg, who apparently dumped some $400 million Facebook money into hiring local poll workers and, you know, bribing them to steal the election. I believe it was a mammoth enterprise overseen by the Rothschilds who completely control our media. Remember, I've presented before panels of 100 executives from CNN, all of whom are dual U.S.-Israeli citizens, another panel of 100 executives from NBC, all of whom are dual U.S.-Israeli citizens, another panel from the New York Times, 100 executives, all of whom are dual U.S.-Israeli citizens. Remember, the Rothschilds were instrumental in founding Israel. They regard it as their own private preserve. The Rothschilds also own the AP and Reuters News Service. So the Rothschilds are controlling virtually all the news reported by the mainstream media. Now we have the complicity of the Democrats here, who, in my opinion, sold their soul to the devil to regain political control with this non-entity, this complete incompetent Joe Biden. And by the way, there's just a mammoth piece about Biden being having been replaced for perhaps as long as 3 years ago by a lookalike, a body double. Hillary used body doubles herself in the past, even in the national debates with Bernie Sanders and with Donald Trump. You can find that if you go to the jamesfetzer.org, the 65 shows I transferred from jimtheconspiracyguy.com when I could no longer afford to maintain the website onto my blog. And if you scroll down, you'll not only see several about the coronavirus and the politics, but you'll see fake news issues of identity if you want to review how Hillary used body doubles again and again. Now, returning to Mike Adams' update. For years, but especially the past 12 months, George Soros-funded prosecutors and Marxist mayors like Bill de Blasio in New York City and London Breed in San Francisco have refused to crack down on petty crimes that escalate into major ones. In the name of respecting the Black Lives Matter movement, these leftists have accused all manner of bad and illegal behavior, but especially shoplifting. Video clips of shoplifting gangs posted online show numerous individuals emptying store shelves of cosmetics, drugs, other supplies into garbage bags before sprinting out of the stores unmolested. And they continue to rob retailers blind because, again, the leftists who run these cities aren't concerned about prosecuting these crimes because they appear to involve persons of color. So naturally, prosecuting them would be racist, even in California, apparently, where whites are no longer in the majority. The problem of outright theft is now being compounded by an actual supply chain issue, as a shortage of workers on docks, driving trucks, seafaring cargo vessels is preventing ships from being unloaded and goods delivered to markets, including, of course, over-the-counter drugs and supplies. Absolutely stunning stuff, but that's what's going on here. Meanwhile, we have efforts by pilots and air traffic controllers and others to deal with the situation. Alex Berenson, who's a highly reliable source, reports as follows. The not-so-friendly skies. Yesterday, American Airlines had almost 300 of its flights canceled, almost 10% of its total, more than any other carrier in the United States. Southwest remains second, and another 673 delayed. It's no doubt purely coincidental. I've heard from multiple pilots at American this week, and its pilots forum are filled with anger at the vaccine mandate. It's also no doubt a coincidence that Delta, which has had far fewer problems than the other big carriers, is the only one not to impose a vaccine mandate. These mandates, by the way, are completely illegal. They have no basis in the law. They're unconstitutional, even talking about OSHA developing. Nothing's happening. It's just a gimmick. It's just propaganda. It's a bluff by the Biden administration to try to induce more people to get the vax, because they're all in on the plan to decimate the American population. Where Deagle.com, which has deep ties to the military-industrial complex, has projected that the U.S. population will drop from 330 million in 2020 to 65 million in 2025. That's a diminution of 265 million of your fellow citizens in 5 years. Meanwhile, though they still insist last week's meltdown had nothing, I tell you, to do with their vaccine mandate, Southwest executives have dramatically changed their rhetoric about them. In a video yesterday, the company's CEO encouraged employees who don't want to be vaccinated to apply for exemptions, said he didn't want anyone to lose a job over vaccinations. Last week, however, the language went like this: failure to comply with a COVID-19 vaccination policy will result in termination of employment. Still, the mandate remains in place unless Southwest simply decides to wave through every exemption request. Nothing to see here, folks. Let's be real. Many airline employees are furious with the mandates, especially pilots. By nature, they tend to be conservative self-starters. No one decides to fly a plane for a living if he isn't comfortable with pressure and being responsible for other people, and has an ego, too. Old joke. How do you know there's an F-16 pilot in the room? He'll tell you. They, many of them anyway, don't want the vaccine, but like most people, they can do something. Unlike most people, they can do something about it. They are inside huge companies with very complicated work rules. They have union protections. They're aware of the fragility of the system, not just at Southwest. Airline can swing from huge profits to huge losses in a month, depending on fuel prices and overall economy. And that was before COVID travel rules made the corporate lives even more complicated. No less an investor than Warren Buffett once said he would never buy them again after a bad investment in the 1980s. He did again, then sold his positions at exactly the wrong time after COVID hit last spring, which means the pilots have a lot of leverage should they choose to use it. A small number of sick outs at a single airline can snarl operations and lead to system-wide flight cancellations that leave tens or hundreds of thousands stranded for days. The cost to the travelers caught in the middle of this fight are real. They'll be stuck and miserable at airports as their vacations are ruined and they miss funerals, weddings, and business trips. The pilots I've heard from don't want that. They didn't become pilots not to fly. But they also recognize they're speaking for tens of millions of working Americans who are furious with the choice the Biden administration is forcing upon them. You're right to make medical decisions for yourself or do your job. So what comes next? The answer may be a delicate dance between the airlines, especially Southwest and American, and their employees. If the airline signals anyone who wants an exemption can get one, they may keep the anger to manageable levels. If not, or if the Biden administration steps in to force the issue, I leave you with an email from yesterday. I'm a paid subscriber and thankful to be so. I'm also a pilot and fly international routes. On our trip back today from Europe to one of the airports in Texas, we had quite a bit of chatter in the 121.5 emergency channel. We figured out it was people saying, "Let's go, Brandon." And in some things, you know, the college, they've got a "if Joe Biden" going on at chants around the country. College students have figured out what's going on. We heard this most of the way after crossing the Canadian border. In my 20 years plus, the frequency has always remained silent. Not today. The 121.5 is in use. The emergency is real and not just in the air. We have Chicago set to lose 50% or more of the police force at midnight as the police unions call the mayor's bluff on reporting the vaccine status. That was on October 14. We have Massachusetts set to lose 50% of their correction officers by Sunday due to a vax mandate with a prison system pushed into chaos. Now here we get Jim Stone explaining what's really going on. Listen to this. The people behind the jab have no intention whatsoever of ever replacing 30,000 pilots who walk out, 600,000 medical workers who walk out, or anyone else, including the military, who walks out because this is the end of America. They are dismantling the country. No, these people will not be replaced. And they are never going to work again. Worse, when the people behind the jab create the next wave of emergencies, the pilots that do get the job will be crashing frequently. They're even dying in flights right now in the air, creating more chaos. The medical workers are going to be stroking out, screwing up left and right in a system that's been totally set up to fail. Soldiers who were jabbed will be on the low end of the intellect to begin with, will crack under pressure, rather than think rationally like the talent that had the picture well enough to walk out. And they will be further diminished beyond their already previously lower intellect. China is going to pummel America into the ground. It is all by design. The shot is the greatest weapon ever wielded. Nothing in history has done so much damage. It's not only the deaths and maimings of those jabbed. The damage is so much worse than a pile of deaths and maimings because it's hit the top intellectual background of the United States harder than any attack on the country ever has, just by causing such massive walkouts. Those who hate America, including Pelosi, Soros, Biden, and more, the elite, are absolutely thrilled by the rampant destruction their mandates are causing. They knew it would happen. And then as an act of hatred against America, they did it on purpose. If you wanted to destroy America's military, what better way could there possibly be than to cause a mass walkout of the top 40% of the armed forces while the rest of them get a shot that kills and maims a lot of them while it diminishes the rest? No battle, no entire war has damaged the American military as badly as this shot and the mandate. The military has been annihilated on purpose. What attack on any country has been so serious it took out 600,000 nurses and doctors? The jab and the mandate did. That's what's going on here. Wake up and smell the coffee. When we come back from the break, my special guest, Kelly Watt, will join us.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hello, Jim. We don't hear you on this end. Hello, Jim. Hey, Jim went quiet on me. Hey, Jim.
Oh, there we go. There we go. There we go. We're now going good.
Yeah, I hear you, my friend.
Okay, thank you. Yes, very good. Very good. I want to say a little about my special guest today, Kelly Watt. She's really quite a sensational person, who has reached out to conduct original research on Sandy Hook. She has her own a commercial and home cleaning service, so that when it took place, she knew that blood, being a biohazard, had to be cleaned up. Now, she thought initially it might well have been real, but began making inquiries as to who cleaned up the blood. None of the state agencies could answer the question. So she was eventually put in contact with none other than Lieutenant Paul Vance. Lieutenant Paul Vance, who was in charge there. You saw him on the scene with Wayne Carver when he gave his ill-fated press conference. Paul Vance was the one who threatened anyone who challenged the official narrative with prosecution. Paul Vance undoubtedly was a person who directed the two homicide detectives from a local precinct in South Florida, go to the home of Wolfgang Halbig, who, as a national school safety expert, had been making inquiries what had happened, sending FOIA requests, phone calls, discovering none of them were being answered. His phone calls weren't being returned to tell him that if he continued to ask questions about Sandy Hook, he would be prosecuted. Well, this was very odd because Wolfgang simply wanted to find out what had happened so he could advise other school systems how to avoid it happening to them. But it turned him into a bulldog. When Kelly spoke with Paul Vance, she asked him who cleaned up the blood. And Vance just blurted out, "What blood?" Because, of course, there hadn't been any blood. So he didn't make the connection. He didn't understand. Kelly was spot on. When we did discovered, 50 photographs from the lad's home, including the Nancy Lanza bedroom, when I showed Kelly the photograph, we noticed there were aspects of it that were troubling. There was some red stuff on the bed where Adam is alleged to have shot his mother, but it didn't look like blood. I thought it was raspberry jam. There were some forms on the cedar chest at the foot of the bed where they seem to have been making records of how they arranged the bedroom. But with her keen eye, she spotted a blue moving pad beneath the leg of the bed. I mean, how bad is that? In their haste, they'd forgotten to remove. I mean, Kelly's been making spot-on contributions, and I'm just delighted to welcome here today to the Raw Deal. Kelly, welcome to the show.
We don't hear Kelly, Jim.
Let me see. They're saying they can't hear you, Kelly, which should not be the case. Kelly, I may have to have you call in. Leave your video on, but call in the number 540. Yeah. We've had this problem before, though. We didn't have it in the past, and I'm still a bit baffled by it. Yeah, Kelly's 540-352-4452, and Mitchell will join you. Stay the video, keep the video on, but go ahead and call in to him, and I'll mute you here, and we'll take your sound through the station. Well, all you got to do, go ahead, call in. Okay. Mitchell will take your call. Mitchell, do you have Kelly?
Not yet, Jim. I'm waiting for her to call.
Meanwhile, I can give you her number, too. But
okay, we have Kelly.
Oh, Kelly, okay. Go ahead. Repeat the point about the box tops. That's a doozy. I love it.
Oh, yeah. So I had called the box tops for education that come off of different products where the children can collect them at schools and they turn them in and they get playground equipment and other supplies for the school. And anyway, I had looked up Sandy Hook on the national website for box tops, and they did not turn any in that year. So they had all the, and I took screenshots of them all, and they showed the different schools in Sandy Hook and like Holly and I can't remember the names of the schools now, something Meadows. But anyway, they had all turned in box tops, but none for Sandy Hook.
Not only that, of course, but the school was bereft of any Christmas or Hanukkah decorations. Remember, this event took place on the 14th of December, 2012, shortly before Christmas. It was an elementary, a kindergarten through fourth grade school. It ought to have been abounding with all kinds of Christmas and Hanukkah decorations, but there were basically none. There were two very dated, you know, there were four windows in classroom 10 that had kind of sketches of a candle that were pasted on the inside, which appear to have been the only remnants, but they weren't even current. In fact, they were indicative. They were very telling when we learned about how they had a SWAT team was present before the event took place, and that we could tell it was there before the event took place because the windows at classroom 10 were perfectly intact. They weren't shot out at all. So, I mean, you went down the flagpole and you saw a familiar figure leaning against the wall with his arms folded, awaiting the arrival of his portable mortuary tent, Wayne Carver, the medical examiner. There was crime scene tape up for a crime that had yet to be committed. Kelly, I'm so delighted with all your discoveries. That box top fits right in with the absence of any Christmas or Hanukkah decorations.
Oh, and Jim, let's not forget the nameplates on the outside of the classrooms. And at one time, when that was an operating school, they had a little nameplate attached, you know, to the outside of the classroom, like Miss Porter's second grade. And you could still see the remnants of the glue that had once held those nice nameplates. And they had replaced them with little pieces of paper.
It's just ridiculous. Go ahead.
And the fact that none of the parents have ever had any Kleenexes on them is just, that's mind-boggling. Remember, I used to call the press and say, if you're going to try to pull this off, at least give them a box of Kleenexes. At least put a Kleenex in at least one of the parents' hands.
Yeah, they didn't seem to be in a state of grief, did they? Like Robbie Parker comes out of the building all jocular, smiling, joking, then turns and sees the assembled press, pauses to hyperventilate to get into character, and then begins talking about the death of his daughter, Emily, the day before, and has a presence of mind to mention her donation website. I mean, Kelly, this is so insulting, right in our face.
And don't forget, Emily, he said on that news press conference that she spoke Portuguese.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what he said in the press conference, that she spoke Portuguese.
That's a doozy.
Yeah, that's in the press conference. He says that she spoke Portuguese.
Tell us more now about your recent sojourn. You sent me a photograph. Let me see if I can't pull it up here.
Okay, the first one you need to show is the picture of the semis at the hospital.
That's okay. What I got. So I got a semi at a hospital. And Kelly, just give us a general scenario. What is it you're going to be explaining to us?
Okay, so what happened was the other day we had the channel. CBS. Yes, it was CBS on, and our local channel. And the reporter said that there were so many people dying at a local hospital called Hillcrest South. There were so many people dying that they brought in mobile morgues. That's plural. Okay, she said morgues. Channel ABC and NBC also covered the story. They said the same thing, mobile morgues, plural. And they showed, and this even went as far away as the news in Joplin, Missouri, okay? So they all claimed that there's mobile morgues that have been brought in to handle all the dead and dying COVID people. This was like 3 weeks ago, okay? And so I thought, okay, I'm so tired of these lies. So I grabbed my cell phone and I went over there. It was 7:45 in the morning. And on my way to work, I went by the hospital and I pulled into the parking lot. And when I pulled in, a lady was getting out of her car next to me and she had on some black scrubs and she's putting a mask on her face. And I said, "Excuse me, do you work here?" And she said, "I do." And I said, "Well, Leanne Taylor just said on the news 30 minutes ago," and she showed an aerial view, and I pointed over there to the semis that were at the loading dock. And I said, and the picture, as you can see, if you're showing it, there's two, right?
Yes,
but on the
yes.
TV we're looking, station, we're, but on the I, but on the news,
I have the
they
photo
showed
up.
Three.
Yes, right? Kelly, go ahead.
Okay, so they showed three of them on the news, okay? And by the time I get there, now there's two, all right? So, and I said, so many people are dying inside this hospital that they brought in mobile morgues. And she said, those are probably food delivery trucks. She said, because our director on our floor keeps us really informed. He hasn't said anything. So I said, well, thank you. And she went her way and I went my way. And my way was to proceed up the to the dock where these trucks were backed in. So there was a semi that was backed in. And it did not have a refrigeration unit on it. And it was parked next to another one, as you can see in the picture. It was parked next to one that said Thermo King, which was a refrigerated truck, but it was not, the generator was not running. Okay. And then next to that was a man making federal delivery, his FedEx truck. Showing the picture that shows the FedEx? Okay.
So
there's a video that I sent you too where you can see the guy actually unloading boxes right next to the Thermo King truck, all right? And then next to him is a Pepsi Cola delivery man, and he's making Pepsi Cola deliveries. So I proceed to walk up the ramp, and to my right is a shipping and receiving office, and the door's open, and I stick my head in, and nobody's in there. So I proceeded to take a left, and now I'm on the shipping platform. So I pass the Pepsi truck. I pass the Federal Express truck
By the way, Kelly, do you want me to go ahead and run the video here?
Yeah, yes, that would be good. Run the video while I'm describing this. So I pass the Pepsi truck.
Of the guy unloading the FedEx truck, and then we got the Pepsi truck next to it. Yes, I've just run it. I'll run it again.
Okay, so I pass them, and then I pass the the truck, the Thermo King truck, which is not running on a generator, and it has a wooden pallet leaned up against the back door. And then next to that was the other trailer that did not have a refrigeration unit on it at all, and the doors were open. So I proceeded, and the lights were on. It had fluorescent lights inside. So I went in, had my cell phone, turned it to camera, and started filming what I was seeing. And if you go to the video...
We're looking at it. I'm looking at it.
Okay. So in the very back, that's trash that you see. In the very back, that's cardboard boxes.
Right.
And then the three tabs high are hazardous material tabs.
Right.
And those are full of IV tubing and spit needles and stuff like that. And then those will be, when that trailer gets full, it will be taken to a disposal, a biohazard disposal unit, facility, and be disposed of. That it was not for loading up bodies. That, remember, they said mobile morgues. There were so many people dying that they had to bring in, plural, mobile morgues. And you just saw on the video that one of those is not a mobile morgue, all right? So I thought, okay, I'm going to go confront the administration and ask them why they're lying about this. So I went back down the platform, down the ramp, and I followed this sidewalk around, and it just kind of led to nowhere. So I thought, well, I need to go back and get in my car. But before I did, I wanted to go get the video. I wanted to take some more video, which is the one I just showed you. So this time as I'm going up the ramp, I look in that office again, in the shipping and receiving office, and there's three people in there now. So I said, this guy goes, can I help you? And I said, yes. I said, he goes, I'm the director. He said, what do you need? And I said, why are you all lying? And he said, lying about what? And I said, Leanne Taylor on Channel 6 News just said 30 minutes ago that these were mobile morgues to handle all the dying people. And I said, you know, and I know that these are not mobile morgues to load up dying people. And he said, well, there's certain things I'm not allowed to discuss. And I said, I bet there is. And I said, there's only one reason and one reason only why Hillcrest would put their reputation on the line and lie about that. And it's a little thing called CARES Act money. All right. And about this time, a guy came out and he had a mask on and he had a badge that said security. And he says, is there a problem here? And I said, there sure is. I said, you all are lying. These are not mobile morgues. And he said, ma'am, you need to leave. And I said, that's fine. I've already got the video that I needed. And so he starts to approach me and he's yelling. And I said, wait. I said, you're not social distancing and your mask is down. And he goes, I don't have to have it up. And I said, yes, you do. It's a mandate. So anyway, I went to get my car and he was like 10 cars away from me. And then he decided to come back and stand behind my car as I was backing up with his camera to take pictures of my license plate. And then as I was pulling out of the parking lot, a policeman on foot was standing there by the exit. He kind of was waving me to pull over, and I just waved at him and went on.
Good.
Home and I called.
You have so much. You have so much.
I went home and I called.
You handle these things so well, Kelly. I'm just so impressed.
So then I went home and I called Leanne Taylor and I left her, the newscaster, and I said, you've totally discredited yourself. And then I called another gentleman by the name of Emery Bryan. I believe he's the director. And he called me back later that day and he wanted to, I left a message as to what I was wanting. And he said, can I have your videos? Can I see the pictures you took? And I said, I'll share them with you. You know, I kind of hate to because you all have been so hateful over Sandy Hook and everything over the years. You all ought to go out there and just get your own video, but you know, I'll think about sharing mine. So, let me back up. On my way to the hospital that morning, they also had on the news, after they were telling this story about the mogul morgues, they brought in a guy by the name of Bob Moore, who owns Tulsa's biggest funeral home service, I believe. So I called Bob Moore's funeral service on the way to the hospital. And because on the news, they were trying to get him to say that there were all these deaths, but he wouldn't go there. And so I called up and I said, I talked not to him, but to somebody who works there. And I said, my mother passed away, and could they handle her funeral, or were they just too swamped? And he said, no. He says, we're not. He says, is it imminent? And I said, oh, no, we've got some time. And he says, well, we've got two funerals tomorrow, but you want to call us tomorrow? And I said, okay, and hung up. So they are not busy. And the next day, I actually went to a funeral in one of Tulsa's biggest cemeteries called Memorial Park. And as I was going down Memorial Avenue, right next to the cemetery is a funeral home. And there was no cars in the parking lot. There was a hearse parked underneath the carport, but that was the only car on the entire premises. So there was no funerals going on at that time. So I attend this funeral, and I had to wiggle all the way around through the cemetery to get to where this funeral was. And there were no other green tents that day that were set up for other funerals that were going to be held that day. And it was like the only one in this cemetery that day. So, and then as I pulled out, I went a different direction, and at the opposite end of this cemetery is Bob Moore's funeral home, right? And no funerals going on there either.
Nice, Kelly. I just love the way you do boots on the ground research. You just go right out there and call their bluff. I mean, it's sensational, in my opinion.
Well,
just as you did over the phone calling the state agencies in Connecticut as to who cleaned up the blood. You ripped the mask off of their face. This whole thing is such a monstrous pile of bullshit, Kelly. It's hard to believe.
So, Jim, this happened several weeks ago with this hospital thing. So after I called Leanne Taylor and after I called the director of the television station, then I called Hillcrest South Hospital and asked to speak to somebody in administration. And you know what she told me, what department I needed to call? Marketing. The marketing department.
Marketing.
She said you need to talk to marketing. So I hung up and I called the marketing department, and you only get a voicemail. You only get voicemail. And so I left a message, never heard from them, okay? And then I called the Oklahoma Hospital Association and talked to a girl there and said, who do I need to speak to with? I told her the whole story, just as I've told you. And she said, we'll have somebody call you back. To this day, never heard from them. So last Monday, and I also called some senators. I called Langford and Inhofe's office. And Senator Inhofe's office, they never answer their phones, okay? And Langford's office did leave a voicemail. I missed their phone call. They left a voicemail, and they said that they would look into the rumor. And I've been trying to call them back to say, what rumor are you talking about? I have this on video, which I left you in my message, that I have this on video. It's not a rumor. And so I need to follow through with that. And I also called Thermo King, okay? Because that was their refrigerated track, or at least their refrigeration unit attached to that track. And he told me that they do not use those tracks for dead bodies, because if they smell, they can't get the odor out, and they have to trash the trailer.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, and then I called the other day. I recalled the Oklahoma Hospital Association, repeated the whole story again. And she said, we don't take complaints. You need to call the Oklahoma Department of Health. So I called them last Monday. This is now Friday?
Yes.
Still have not heard back. So I did get a call this morning from Ascension, which is a hospital, but I think that's St. John's Hospital. I don't think it's, so I don't know what this phone call's about. So I'll call it here in a minute. I don't think it has anything to do with this story, and maybe they have a wrong number. I don't know. So
Kelly, we'll be Kelly, in just a couple of minutes, we'll be taking a break that runs about 4 minutes. Why don't you try calling them? Although I don't want you to disconnect from Mitchell, but I don't know that you could handle both at the same time. I'm now contemplating.
I've got the voicemail transcription of this Ascension, this hospital that's calling me. But like I said, I don't think it's the same hospital, but maybe I can, without disconnecting, maybe I can get to my voicemails. Maybe I can't. I don't know. anyway. Because it's Ascension Hospital. It is a different hospital.
Do you have Mitchell's number right there at hand?
The one you gave me earlier?
Yeah, 540-352-4452. And by the way, Kelly, I think there's so many out there who would be excited to speak to you that I'm going to open the phone lines early and take callers after the break. But you and I will continue to have our conversation. And if anyone calls in,
Jim, in the meantime, I will flip over and see if I can get that voicemail and get back with you. And if not, I'll just hang up and call back.
That's perfect, Kelly. That's just perfect. Yes.
Okay.
You got four to five minutes, and you know I'm letting everybody know that if they'd like to speak with Kelly Watt about Sandy Hook or about the coronavirus scam, about the fake news, Kelly's nailed all of them in spades. She's have videos to substantiate what she's observing here. She was.
Jim. Yeah. Jim, I hate to interrupt, but I do need to tell you one other thing that I told the guy. The security guy. I said, this is the second time in 4 days. I said, 4 days ago, a doctor went on television and he says that there are so many, this was for Northwest Health Systems in South Oklahoma. He said, so we're leaving gunshot wound victims laying in the street because the emergency rooms are so full of ivermectin overdose patients. Okay?
What the fuck is this crap?
Yeah, and so then the hospital had to issue a statement. The hospital had to issue a statement saying that doctor, he doesn't see patients. He is an emergency room staffing doctor. He staffs like two rural Oklahoma hospitals. He hasn't even been to this hospital for 2 months. Our emergency rooms are not full. Come see us. You know, everything's good.
Kelly, we're on the way. Hold that. We already have a caller on the line. See if you can reach the other hospital. We'll be right back with Kelly Watt after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting "This is a drill, this is a drill" on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hey, guys.
Mitchell, do we have Kelly back on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. Very good, Kelly. Go ahead and tell us before I bring in our first caller. Go ahead and give us an update.
Well, I didn't call it just because I didn't know how long I'd be on the phone, but she just left a message that says, "This is for Kelly. My name is Brooke, and I'm one of the nurses calling from Ascension Medical Group on behalf of Dr. Lansdale. If you could give me a call back when you have a moment. My number is such and such. We'll be here until 3 today. We'll be back on Monday." So, like I said, I don't think this is the same hospital, but I'll see. You know, I can't imagine why a hospital would be calling me.
Yeah, that's very curious.
Or why a medical group would be calling me.
Yes, yes.
Anyway.
Yes. Yes, well, we have our first caller on the line, Sal from Colorado. Sal, join the conversation.
You know, Kelly, one of the first people that I remember Dr. Fetzer speaking highly of with regards to the Nobody Died at Sandy Hook book is you, because you have such field experience because of your cleaning businesses and things like that. And I think it's just great. And I want to ask you a question. I believe Sophia Smallstorm said last time or two that she was on James's show that Dr. Wayne Carver is dead. What happened to him? Do you know?
Yeah, he's reported to be deceased. I think he was going to be an inconvenient witness when he did a video deposition in relation to the Posner versus Fetzer lawsuit here in Madison. I participated and asked him questions and showed him some of the death certificates and one that had come from the Newtown clerk's office. He reacted like it was a vampire in a cross. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. He said, "I have no idea what that is." It had a printed file number that did not correspond to the handwritten file number. I thought that was extremely telling. And as I move forward in my efforts to get all this exposed through the legal system, where my petition for review is currently before the Wisconsin Supreme Court, if they make the appropriate judgment that the case was not ripe for a summary judgment, which was grossly violative of the principles and procedures that should have applied here, particularly since a summary judgment is only appropriate if there are no undisputed facts. And yet the central issue in the case, namely the authenticity of the death certificate, was very much in dispute, had not been resolved. Where I had, there were a total of four death certificates that had been introduced prior to the oral hearing, where I had two forensic document examiners testifying that all four of those death certificates were fake, the claim of which in regard to the one published in the book, which Kelly actually had provided to me, that she'd been provided by Leonard Posner himself by posting on his Google Plus page, that all four of them were fake. And yet the judge right in front of me had a conversation with a plaintiff's attorney and said, you know, he said, if I reject these, if I exclude them as evidence, then that'll be ground for appeal. I'll just set them aside as someone else's opinion. And went ahead and ruled in favor of the plaintiff. I mean, it was outrageous. Here I was witnessing this take place right before my very eyes. And mind you, I'm given to understand by those who know more than I that experts in court have the same standing as the judge. In other words, their opinion is just as definitive. His setting aside the expert opinion is just someone else's opinion was outrageous. And he ought not to have ruled based upon when the authenticity was still in question. He had to send it to a jury, but they were at all costs wanting to avoid a jury. They don't want a jury where I could introduce all the evidence, which the court had previously excluded. Get this, excluded on the ground that whether or not anybody died at Sandy Hook was not relevant to the truth of the authenticity of a death certificate that declared the decedent had died at Sandy Hook on 14 December 2012 from multiple gunshot wounds. I mean, this is how blatant is the abuse of the judicial system today in Madison, Wisconsin. I am shocked, Kelly.
And Jim?
Yes?
Jim?
Kelly, go ahead, Kelly.
I was just going to say, don't forget, Wayne Carver also said in the middle of his 20-minute press conference, quote, I hope the residents of, and this was in no context or anything, he just blurts out in the middle of a sentence, I hope the residents of Sandy Hook don't have this come crashing down on their heads later, to which this day, 8.5 years later or 9 years later, however long it's been, nobody ever asked him, what did you mean by that?
Yeah.
What don't you hope they don't have falling on their heads?
No, I know, Kelly, it's outrageous. Sal, go ahead. You've got more you want to add, then we have another caller standing by. Go ahead, Sal.
I'll say one more thing, and then I'll hang back, and you can call me if you want me, and I'll mute up. But I want to ask one more question about all of this. James, the very evidence that they're saying no, 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 no to is the very evidence that this case is supposed to be completely based upon. How can all of this be? This is ridiculous. They have absolutely no interest in giving you any justice or even a nod to consider anything that you've done over all this time. I don't understand either.
Well, I think they want to make this into a national security case that if it turns out that Sandy Hook is a hoax, which we've demonstrated conclusively in the book, which of course Amazon.com has banned, the lawsuit actually was intended to get this judgment against me so they could use that as a threat against those who were releasing the PDF for free, which is what I'd done when Amazon banned it. It was so obvious this was political. I immediately released it to the public for free. Or a friend of mine who follows these matters told me it's been downloaded at least 10 million times. They wanted to staunch the flood of truth coming out by that PDF being available. So they've threatened those who had made it available in the past that they'd be in violation of the court order. In other words, the whole thing was just manufactured in order to try to keep the American people from learning the truth about Sandy Hook, Sal. That's what it's all about, from A to Z. And the appellate court, when I appealed the circuit court judgment here in the abuse of summary judgment, the appellate court simply repeated the official narrative as though it were fact, where it turns out there's been no judicial determination that anybody died at Sandy Hook. None of the 20 kids, six adults. I don't even know about the mother, you know, Nancy Lanza. But the fact is, there's no judicial case that determined that this was, in fact, the case as a fact in law. And therefore, it's a complete sham. So we pointed out to the Wisconsin Supreme Court in our petition for a review that there is no judicial determination, that these pronouncements as from the appellate courts are merely dicta, meaning pronouncements or opinions made by a certain source, but which do not have a foundation in the law. Sal, I'm glad you called. Glad you called. Yeah, you can just mute and stand by. Meanwhile, we have Bruce from Texas. Here, go ahead, Bruce. Join the conversation.
Hello, everybody. I just want to tell your guest that she's a very brave and intelligent woman, and I hope she takes care, because she's poking a very large bear there with her investigations.
Oh, Kelly, great courage from the beginning. Kelly, go ahead, respond to Bruce.
Well, no, it doesn't. It's not really courage. It makes me mad. You know, that's one thing I do not like to be lied to. I just cannot handle somebody lying to me. And every single day on the news, this is all we hear. In fact, I told my boyfriend, I said, he was watching one station at Fox 23, the local Fox station, and I said, they are so obsessed with death tolls every day. They go on and all, it's all they talk about. And I said, I'm going to leave if you don't start watching something else. So the next day he turns on KTUL, and that's when I heard this crap. And I'm like, I'm so done with this stuff. I am so done with these lies. I just had to go and confront somebody. You know, I've just had it.
Well, I think it's wonderful, yeah. Kelly. I think it's wonderful how you've been proactive, like reaching out to the state agencies as to who cleaned up the blood. I mean, that was just a classic illustration of your very, very straightforward, direct approach, just asking for the facts. Yeah.
That was good. And then, you know, about the Kleenexes, I know I make a big deal about that, but it is a big deal because the fact that these parents didn't cry, I watch Discovery ID all the time. It's basically all I watch anymore. And, you know, it's true crime, and people are going back on crimes that happened 20, 30 years ago, and they still cry today. This is 2 days after Sandy Hook, and these parents, they couldn't be in a better mood.
Yeah. Well, you're doing a great job. More comments from you, Bruce.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Interesting about Paul Vance.
Go ahead about Paul Vance.
Yeah. Paul Vance, the Lieutenant Paul Vance there, Connecticut, the one that's front and center, you know, intimidating the public. Of course, you know, we discussed it before, and he's related to Cyrus Vance. And he can look at the Vance family, his son, Cyrus Vance Jr., and there's another one. And they're all deep state actors. And right after Sandy Hook, I saw a blurb in a blog somewhere that Paul Vance was a member of the Society of Police Futurists. And I took a screenshot back then in 2013 of that website, policefuturist.org. And I'm looking at their about page, and they've changed it. Back then, it said their mission statement is to achieve the vertical integration of law enforcement from local to the federal level. And so it's not something that people hear about. I think it's worth looking into. And that's the issue we have is the media, the medical industry, the government, and law enforcement. They're all vertically integrated, a giant chain of monopolies that are unaccountable to anybody but who holds the money. And the federal government now can borrow as much money as they want through this fraudulent financial system that's been set up to where they just make money out of nothing, not even print it. It's just made up, and then they go into debt, and then they disperse this money to these hospitals, and everybody has a price. And that's what's going on, in my opinion.
Well, the idea of vertical integration of law enforcement is a very bad idea. You're talking about creating a national police force. I think that's part of the defund the police movement. But they also, you know, if you want to create chaos in society, what would be more effective than removing law enforcement, encouraging shoplifting and other petty crimes, releasing criminals out onto the street? This is what the Democrats are doing, and deny law-abiding citizens a right to carry weapons as concealed. We know there's an inverse relationship between guns, number of guns in society, and homicide rates. The more guns, the fewer the homicides. The Democrats want you to believe the opposite. The more guns, the more homicides. But in fact, it is precisely the reverse. And this is well known. John Lott is among the most brilliant students of these issues. He's got a book that hasn't been banned by Amazon, The War on Guns, published, I believe, in 2009. This is guy, one of the leading experts in the world. And we know, therefore, the Democrats' gun control policies are a complete abject failure. In fact, Dr. Ewan, who maintains a Fellowship of the Minds blog, had the brilliance to superimpose a 2016 electoral map over a 2014 murder map. And it turns out all the areas that had the highest murders were controlled by Democrats with their gun control agenda, which enables the perps to know that whatever happens, at least they're not going to have some nosy civilian there to butt in to stop them from whatever crime they're about to commit. So the Democrats want to bring the Chicago illustration, the Chicago pilot program, to the entirety of the United States and have, you know, not just dozens and dozens shot to death every weekend, but now multiply that by all the cities across the United States. I mean, you're going to have, tens of thousands of people shot every week because of the Democrats' policies on gun control, which are so incredibly stupid and backward. I can't believe anyone is going to go along with it. And where they're trying to resurrect, you know, a gun control is an issue, but frankly, it's fallen flat. After defunding the police, seeing all the Antifa, BLM riots, looting, even murders, Americans know they got to be able to protect themselves because they cannot count on the local police to do it. Kelly, your thoughts.
Well, I agree with everything you said, and the gun control laws are just, it's so out of whack. And speaking of shoplifting, the other day my iPad crashed and I had to take it to the Apple store at the mall. I hadn't been to the mall for 5 years. And so I go to the window, the Apple store, and this guy greets me at the door wanting to know what it is I need. He's got his skinny jeans on rolled up above his ankles, and he's got glittery silver polish on his nails. And he saw me looking at his nails, and he said, "Do you like my nails?" And I said, "No, I don't." So he put me in for a 3-hour wait. So I thought, well, I'll just wander the mall. I haven't been here for 5 years. So I wandered. I went in every single store for 3 hours, just one after the other. Total junk. There was not one single solitary thing that I wanted to purchase at the mall. It was all from China. Cheap garbage. So as I was talking to one girl just to pass some time in the store, she said, "Yeah, they have grab and goes here all the time." And I said, "What's that?" She said, "Oh, like the Michael Kors store that's located near the exit, about 10 to 9, they'll come in and they will put as many handbags as they can gather up and they run out the door to a waiting car." And she said, "That happens all the time. We call them grab and goes."
You could easily put a halt to it just by having a few security guards. I mean, it's outrageous.
I know. Outrageous.
The trouble with security guards, though, is that they don't want the liability when someone, a security guard, grabs somebody. Maybe they would fall on their head and get sued.
The problem is the district attorneys are all in on it. These are George Soros bought and paid for. They won't prosecute crimes in San Francisco. I mean, I was reporting that. You know, you can go and you can just shove all this stuff. I mean, even pharmaceuticals and medicine off of the shelf most of which is moderately expensive, into a garbage bag and just walk out and no one's going to molest you. I mean, it's just insane. Again, these are Democrat policies. That anyone should be supporting the Democratic Party that today is beyond belief. You have to be a complete total idiot to think the Democrats have anything constructive to offer the country. They're doing their very best to demolish it right and left. Saul, let me bring you back in if you'd like to make an additional comment. Saul.
I want to ask you, are you suggesting that maybe they just shuffled Wayne Carver off to Costa Rica? Oh, he's dead, you know, to get him out of the way because he's making trouble or he's too stupid or both?
Well, see, I mean, given what he conceded during that was a video deposition. So you see him reacting with alarm to that one death certificate saying, I have no idea what that is. I think that's wonderful evidence. And because it's a video deposition, I expect I can use it if I get a trial. And that's going to be devastating because the court is wanting to act as though all these various death certificates, no matter what their differences, are authentic. And the evidence, frankly, indicates precisely the opposite is the case. I'm not allowed, I'm under a court order not to assert the sentences for which I was sued, which is, you know, in my opinion, completely ridiculous. I just reaffirm that it is a matter of court record and their reports are in the official record. Two forensic document examiners concluded all four of those death certificates were fake. And when Wayne Carver was shown this one obtained directly from the clerk of Newtown, he reacted. He was just aghast and said he had no idea what that was. I mean, just think about it. This is a medical examiner who is a pivotal player in the whole Sandy Hook hoax. Without him coming out and declaring all these kids were dead, no one would have believed it for a second. So he was right there in the middle, and as Kelly observed, during this very bizarre press conference, where James Tracy wrote a brilliant scholarly critique about it, he said he hoped this didn't come crashing down on the good people of Newtown. Why would he say something like that if this weren't simply an elaborate hoax? He hoped it didn't backfire on the people of Newtown. Kelly, your thoughts, and then I'll go to Bruce. Kelly.
Well, also, you know, Lenny Posner sent me the copy of the death certificate, which I gave to you. And I also asked Lenny Posner for his son's report card. And when he sent that to me, the street that the school was located on, which was Dickinson Drive, Dickinson was spelled the wrong way. It was spelled D-I-C-K-E-N. S-O-N on the document that he sent to me, when actually it's spelled D-I-C-K-I-N-S-O-N.
I know, Kelly. Are you telling me that the kindergarten teachers who made out the report cards didn't even know how to spell the name of the street? I mean, that's just so embarrassing. It shows how shoddy these hoaxes are and how they count on...
No, actually, Jim, actually, I think those were printed. The fronts of the report cards with the address. I don't think it's something the teachers. So when that went to printing press, that's how it was spelled.
Well, bear in mind that the CIA is expert in fabricating documents, and that, I mean, that's their area of specialization. Let me bring you back, Bruce. Bruce, your further thoughts?
Yeah, it's going to close because I can't hang on to the end of the program. But it just struck me that even before Sandy Hook, remember Senator Max Blumenthal of Connecticut? He claimed stolen valor, that he was in combat in the Marines or somewhere. He went to Vietnam, and he's just a lawyer, you know. And so yeah. When all this came out,
I know Blumenthal complete law. He's a complete phony and fraud, but they were right in their pitching. I'm given to understand Connecticut's the most corrupt state in the union. They abolished their sheriffs way back when. And, of course, the sheriffs are the law enforcement element sworn to uphold the Constitution. Getting the sheriffs out of the way, no doubt, was indispensable to going forward with all these scams and frauds and deceit and deception of the public. Where Blumenthal is one of the most disgusting members of the United States Senate. He is, in my opinion, a completely despicable character, and you well illustrate my point. claiming that he was a combat veteran when I believe he's never even served in the military, period.
I think he was a lawyer, you know, a JAG lawyer.
It's, oh, he did know, have a role of being in the JAG in the Army military. Okay. We have yeah. another caller calling yeah. in. Scott
Here
from
go.
San Diego.
Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Bruce, for calling in. Scott from San Diego, join the conversation.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Hello, Kelly. I got to tell you, you broke my heart when you mentioned boyfriend.
Yeah,
the sunshine cleaning lady. I got
Kelly's fabulous. She's absolutely fabulous. By the way, since we're coming up on the break, Scott, I want to carry you over so we can have an extended conversation. But Kelly spoke at my False Flag and Conspiracies Conference 2020. You can find it online. Go to falseflagconspiracies2020.com. They're all available for free to the public. There are 24 you can download, including two of special interest in relation to Day. Kelly, talking about her experiences in doing research on Sandy Hook, and my giving an overview of what happened at Sandy Hook. You can download both of those for free. Go to falseflagconspiracies2020.com. In the upper right-hand corner, you can access the archive. Go in there. You have to get personal information. Just keep a record of who downloaded. Then you can download anywhere up to the total set. But I recommend in particular picking up the two of Kelly and me about Sandy Hook, because it gives a pretty nice overview between the two of us. We're almost to the break. I'm very glad Scott has called in. We're going to pick up with him after the break. Meanwhile, anyone who'd like to call in to speak to Kelly Watt or me about any of these issues, the number 540-352-4452. We'll be right back.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Kelly. Kelly.
Oh, okay. I'll talk when we come back on.
Perfect.
Jim.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution.
Oh, so you're going to take it right now? Okay.
You can deliver, guys, but I'm the piece that I'm telling. You all are coming to my house. I'm here to pay for it. No, I've got my arm on a website. So
are you okay with the hurt?
No, I'll take it. So I just need to pay. And then are you going to my house now? Okay, all right. Okay, cool. All right. Yep, that's the part. Okay, I walked out with that.
You did,
yeah. Okay, so yeah, that just goes on that. I walked out with that.
Radio.
And then that's gonna be a separate check. Somebody else.
Time on Studio B for more. So, same with host Zen Garcia. at freedomslips.com.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm hearing a surprising amount of background noise. Kelly, I know you had thoughts you wanted to add. Go ahead, Kelly.
Oh, let's see. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, I know. You just have to, I talk about this everywhere I go. Am I through?
You're done.
I talk about this. I talk about this everywhere I go. Yesterday, I was, I was at a line for an estate sale, which is where I am now again. And you know, I was talking to this man in front of me, and he was a professor. And I'm showing him pictures of standing up. And you know how liberals are when they cannot handle the truth. I mean, I'm sitting here showing him pictures of what Sandy Hook looked like, you know, a toxic waste dump. And he says, "Okay, I've had enough." And he turns his back on me for the rest of the time we're waiting in line for the state sale to open. It's so funny. I just laughed. And then you know what he said? He goes, "What political persuasion would you say you were?" And I said, "Oh, I'm a diehard Democrat."
He was thinking you had to be a Republican conspiracy theorist,
yeah.
Right?
Yes. And so I blew his mind. I said, "Oh, no, I'm a lifelong Democrat."
I love
Sorry,
it.
Sorry, I got to say, I love it.
You just care about the truth.
I knew he was waiting for me to say, "I'm ultra-conservative." I knew he was waiting for that. I thought, I'm going to blow his mind.
Yeah, okay. Saul, did you want to add a comment? Sal, did you want to add a comment?
Muting me. Yeah. No, that's all I wanted to say. That is just fantastic. I wish I had thought of that on some of occasions recently, but I'll keep that around to use in the future.
Okay,
oh, that's just your great. Your brother was head of the Democratic Party.
Sal, go ahead and mute yourself so I bring back Scott without any background noise. Scott, join the conversation.
Gotcha.
Scott.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to say, aren't the CDC and the NIH and all that, aren't they supposed to prevent this sort of thing from happening in the first place? You know, it's like you hire a security company for your house, and then your house gets robbed, and they turn around and say, "Oh no, our system didn't fail. It was a breakthrough case." You know, but in the meantime, here, let me show you how to prevent this next time. You know, it just seems so brain dead to even listen to these people that are calling themselves our rulers.
Yes. Yes. Kelly, did you want to pick up on that?
No, I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention. Excuse me. I'm so sorry, but I was trying to avoid hitting somebody out in the parking lot.
Well, you have a good sense of priorities. Scott, give us further thoughts.
Yeah, well, and one last thing before I go. Wasn't it remember during Sandy Hook, was it the governor or the mayor that came out and said that we were told something like this would happen?
Yes, yes.
Whatever the governor, happened with that?
Talking about the governor. You're talking about the governor of the state who said that he and the lieutenant governor had been spoken to that something like this might happen. So I looked.
Yeah, what happened? Were they ever questioned about that?
There are only really two alternatives. That he'd been warned someone was going to go berserk and come into a Connecticut school and shoot up a bunch of kids, in which case he had the obvious obligation to inform the school systems to upgrade their security and make sure it didn't happen. But he didn't do that. The alternative, he was told they were going to take an abandoned school, conduct a drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control, which is exactly what happened. And it turned out by whom? Eric Holder met with him on the 27th of November, just a couple of weeks before Sandy Hook, to fill him in on the Obama gun control agenda, of which this was the centerpiece. So you're completely right, Scott. I mean, it complements what Wayne Garver said about hoping this didn't come crashing down on the people of Newtown. The governor, by the way, Wolfgang Halbig, actually went to the governor's office, and in the outer office, he asked him, by whom was he told that something like that would happen? And the governor denied he'd even said it, which is so absurd because it was a part of a public press conference broadcast worldwide. Go ahead, Scott. I'm sorry. I should have given Kelly a chance first. Kelly, go ahead.
Well, Wolfgang did say, he said, I have it on video. And he said something like, no, you don't. I didn't say that.
I mean, how dumb is that?
And then he walked into the office.
How completely stupid is that? To say something, you didn't say something when we have you on video and was broadcast worldwide saying exactly that. Scott, your further thought.
Okay, I got to get back to work, guys. Thank you for taking my call, Jim.
Yes,
I love you, Scott. Kelly.
Called in. Glad you called in.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you.
Take care. Sal, did you want to add a further thought of yours?
Yes. James, I would like to ask, have you heard anything on any of the 45 cases you have pending in courts all over the United States as far as updates in the past week?
Well, I have a motion to intervene in the Remington bankruptcy case in Alabama. And, of course, I have my petition for review before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And I made a motion to interview in the Connecticut case of Soto versus Remington, where it turns out Donna Soto, who's the lead plaintiff, actually is played by a crisis actor, as are the other grieving parents, but she in particular also played the role of Susan Brough in Charlottesville, the alleged mother of Heather Heyer, who's supposed to have died in the automobile incident, but actually died the following day from a heart attack. So it turns out that that Donna Soto, the mother of Victoria Soto, is supposed to be one of the teachers at Sandy Hook, also played the role as a crisis actress of Susan Brough, the mother of Heather Hart. I mean, this is embarrassingly bad that they're just rubbing our face in it, that we can know what the hell they're doing and it won't make any difference at all because they have so much power and control. Saul is just insulting beyond belief.
Well, Jim, I might say, remember, Sandy Hook happened at 9:35 in the morning, in the dawn, and the first person that was shot was Don Hoeksprung. In other words, the hoax was sprung in the dawn. So they're right in our faces with it, okay?
And do you know that the Newtown Bee published an interview they had with Don Hoeksprung, who was explaining there was a shooter in the building and she could hear the shots being fired? Which raised the question, how did they have an interview with a dead woman? But I think your point is impeccable. Sprung in the dawn? I mean, Kelly, that's a real insight. I love it.
The hoax was sprung in the dawn.
Yeah?
Don Hoeksprung. Yeah, unbelievable.
That's the way they do it, Kelly. They're that blatant.
That's exactly the way they do it. They put their little signature on it.
That's right. They put their little signature on it. Sal, I don't think you can top that one, but go ahead if you've got some further thoughts. Meanwhile, let me reiterate, if anyone would like to call in to speak to Kelly Watt or me about these matters, the number 540-352-4452. This is a unique opportunity to speak to a woman who's been doing devastating work on her own initiative. I mean, an otherwise normal citizen who just doesn't like to be lied to. And look what she can accomplish. I'm so impressed with Kelly Watt. The number again, 540-352-4452. Please, this is a unique opportunity. Sal, you have a further thought?
Yes. Kelly, do you have any court cases pending with any of the truths that you've found ongoing with anything?
Kelly's a witness, Saul. Kelly's a witness. She's not in a position to bring lawsuits and all that. I mean, theoretically she could, but as a practical matter, not. So, Saul, I'm really glad you called in, my friend. Thank you for doing so. I want to invite Mitchell to join the conversation. I'm sure Mitchell has thoughts of his own he'd be glad to share. Mitchell.
Hey, hello, Jim. Well, I'm not real big into the Sandy Hook PSYOP, but what I will say is that we are seeing these psychological operations and aftercare operations, I guess you could call them, you know, whether an event is, you know, a happenstance, an accident, or just, you know, somebody going berserk. The response teams today manufacture and can use the crisis as if it was a, you know, an organized and orchestrated event. You know, the after event stuff that happens today, particularly in the news with the news organizations, it's such a crafted bullshit. It's pathetic.
It is. You know, it's unbelievable.
Yes, it really is. It's a psychological operation that is worldwide. And, you know, COVID is their biggest trauma case ever.
No doubt about it, Mitchell. No doubt about it. Kelly?
I was just going to say, what was I going to say? I forgot. After this, because I didn't know we were going to have another caller, so I was just going to talk to you. But remember when I called whenever I asked who cleaned up the blood, and then later on I was told that the FBI cleaned it up. And this was after Lieutenant Paul Vance told me that I needed to call the Major Crime Squad because he couldn't answer my question. And remember, he said, what blood? And then he said, are you one of those conspiracy theorists? Because I stepped over those dead babies. And I said, no, you didn't. And so then I called the Major Crime Squad of Western Connecticut, and they couldn't tell me either. And then later on, it came out in the newspaper in Connecticut that the FBI cleaned it up. So I called the Oklahoma FBI here in Tulsa. And I said, if there was a shooting, say at a casino, a mass shooting or something, would you all go in there with string mops and brooms and clean that up? And he said, oh, absolutely not. We'd call up aftermath services or something like that, you know, that goes in there and cleans up. We wouldn't do it. No. And, then they changed the story and said that Safe Harbors did it. And when I looked up Safe Harbors, when I Googled Safe Harbors, you see the company that's named, the name of that company is exactly as it implies. It cleans up waterways from oil spills. Okay. They do not clean up blood matter and biohazards at elementary schools.
Yes. Yes.
So they lied about it twice.
Hey, we got Bruce from Texas calling back with further comments or questions. Bruce, join the conversation.
Yeah, I just want to chip away a little bit more at Sandy Hook using my background. We all bring our life experiences, I guess, to the table, and then we can use that as a tool to dissect what really happened. So I was in the military. I was in a recon platoon. I served in the first Gulf War. Total of 8 years active service, and I was an EMT paramedic. Do a 911 service. So as far as the gunshots inside an enclosed building, when you're shooting an AR-15 or an M-16 in a closed building, especially one with tile floors and low ceilings, those concussions are very loud. And so this kid with no military experience, with no hearing protection, I mean, did he have ear muffs on? I've never heard of that. He's going in and just shooting like Duke Nukem inside the video game, you know, killing all these kids. I find that implausible. And then every one of those shots was kill shot, you know.
Yes.
And so there was no, now jumping back to my paramedic experience, you know, like you mentioned, there's no aero evac going on, no helicopters, no ambulances rushing to hospitals. Any paramedic that was in charge of that scene worth the salt would have brought out the viable patients and started triage outside the parking lot somewhere in an organized manner, tagged them, and arranged for evacuation based on their likelihood of survivability, you know. And that wasn't done either, you know. So
the whole thing is a
phony promise. Yeah.
You're absolutely right, Bruce. No surge of EMTs into the building. No string of ambulances rush their little bodies off to hospitals where physicians could pronounce them dead or alive. No medevac helicopter called, triage tarps put out, but no bodies of the dead or wounded placed upon them. The whole thing was an elaborate scam. Let me add, by the way, while they're focusing on the Bushmaster, only a tiny percentage of murders are committed with rifles. It's like less than 5% of murders with guns are committed by rifles. So why are they focusing on the AR-15? Well, they're making up a case against it as a military assault weapon, which is false. Assault weapons fire full automatic. These aren't automatic. It is a lightweight, all-purpose weapon. It would be extremely useful if we had to defend ourselves against a tyrannical government. I think that's the bottom line. They use this phony pretext of being a military to get around the absence of liability gun manufacturers enjoy, where a judge in Connecticut ruled that military weapons were an exception. Actually, the Supreme Court has ruled that the Second Amendment even covers military weapons. So this is a unconstitutional procedure from scratch. But why should any of us be surprised by that? It's all an elaborate scam. So I appreciate your additional questions, Bruce. Do you have others for Kelly?
Well, I just got one more thing to mention. This came out today in my email from Guns America Digest, gunsamerica.com. The ATF sees huge Larry Vickers gun collection. Now, this guy had legally obtained a gun collection. He was active instructor. He's former, former Delta Force, patriotic American. He had cancer, so he had sold some of his collection. And he didn't renew his permit, so the ATF did a raid on his house and seized every one of his guns as he's fighting cancer. Like, he's going to be a threat to the society, you know, because he didn't renew his license this year. Let it expire.
Oh, it's all bullshit. It's unbelievable. The country's turned into the largest pile of bullshit in human history. It's outrageous. Kelly, your further thoughts. Yeah. Kelly.
Again, I agree with you, Jim. It's a big pile of you know what.
It is unbelievable. Bruce,
it really is.
Bruce, go ahead.
I
couldn't hear you. Go ahead, say again.
That's all I had.
Okay, well, thank you for calling back, Bruce. Thank you for calling back.
Great.
Kelly, what do you conclude based upon your experience with Sandy Hook and now the coronavirus, the fake news and all that? Just sum up some of your thoughts.
Well, you know, it really, Sandy Hook really got me to investigating and to question everything now. It really did. I don't believe anything I hear on television, and that's why I didn't get the vaccine. I got the feeling early on. When I was watching the news coverage, I was like, and seeing them weld people inside the homes in China, I was like, I looked at my boyfriend, I said, this is all fake. I said, this is fake. But it's really taught me, it's really opened my eyes to, you know, what's going on, and I just know not to believe anything that they say.
You are a wise woman.
If the earth was rumbling beneath my feet, and they said we were having an earthquake, I wouldn't believe it. I mean, I can't help it. It's just so sickening. It's just so sickening. Hey, did you hear that our attorney general in Oklahoma sent out a letter saying that employers do not have to obey Biden's mandate on the vaccine? And our pastor has started a website called No Jab Jobs.
Good. Very good. Very good. Very good.
If you're looking for somebody who needs a job and you don't want to be vaccinated, you can go and register on his website and say, you know, you're not requiring vaccine.
Absolutely. It's all completely illegal. These mandates are meaningless. Go ahead, Kelly.
Oh, there's a guy I saw a YouTube video, and he had 143 employees, and he was going to be fined, you know, anybody over 100 employees if they're not vaccinated. So he fired the 43 people who've been vaccinated. He said, if they're so stupid to be vaccinated, I don't want them working for me. And then he took the money from the 43, which brought him down to being compliant so he wouldn't be fined. He came down to 100 employees, and he took the other 43 people that he fired, the vaccinated people, and he spread that money amongst the other workers.
That's fascinating. That I love it, Kelly. What a smart guy. What a smart guy.
Yeah.
Kelly,
well, I do feel sorry for the people. I feel sorry for a lot of the people that got the vaccine because they were scared. I know a lot of elderly people. I told them not to get it, and I told them why not to get it, but they're just not going to believe, you know, when they're hearing this day in and day out on the news, by the likes of our newscasters here, they're not going to believe their housekeeper over the news. You know, they're just not going to believe me. So they went and all got the vaccine anyway. And let me tell you what I'm seeing just in among my elderly clients, okay? One of them stepped on a tack in a carpet tack, and she's been struggling trying to get this thing healed out for like 6 months. And another one had a prosthetic knee removed, and she has this gaping wound, and it is taking forever for this thing to close because she doesn't have an immune system, okay? So this is what I'm seeing, and just in the few, you know, two of my elderly clients here that have had injuries, it's taking them an extraordinarily long time to heal.
Yes.
And I think it's because they don't have an immune system.
I think you're right. Do you know that the Red Cross is not accepting blood donations from those who've been vaccinated because it lacks the antibodies that ordinary people have?
I heard they couldn't donate plasma.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Further confirmation. This is a scam of humongous proportions taking place here.
Oh, I watched a video last night, and this world-renowned, she was really sharp, smart. She's had to resign. She was a immunologist and a psychiatrist in Australia. And this was the most, I posted it to my Facebook page. It was the most interesting interview. But they're basically saying, folks, it's time to go pick out a coffin to the back. But, you know, the psychiatrist said we need to treat these people with love and compassion, because they were misled.
Yeah.
You know, they were misled. And it's not their fault. They thought they were doing something good for their health and to help other people. And they, unfortunately, their lives will be affected. And she says within the next 6 months to 2 years, it's over for these people, is basically what she's saying. And there's nothing you can detoxify with. She said, unfortunately, it's very, very sad.
Kelly, I think you got it exactly right. And I have dear friends and family members who took the vaccine, in spite of my efforts to oppose it, they didn't even let me know what they were doing because they knew I would do my best to stop them. But there it is. Well, we've all got to cope with this. The Deagle.com projection has the U.S. population dropping from 330 million in 2020 to 65 million in 2025. That's a diminution of 265 million American citizens who are going to be wiped off the face of Earth by the Deagle projection. And I'm sorry to say, I think Deagle knows what they're talking about. that's going to involve a whole lot of our friends and relatives and neighbors, people we know will without any doubt be taken out.
Oh, I know. My neighbors on each side, my sister, my brother-in-law, my daughter took it. She's pregnant now. Since the vaccine, she's gotten pregnant with her first child. I've been trying for 4 years. She went, you know, it's just, I'm just sick. I'm just, you know.
Oh, Kelly, this is very, very tragic because, you know, pregnant women are told to not even drink a glass of wine, and they're going to take an mRNA vaccine that changes their DNA. The effects on their fetus are going to be profound, not only on themselves, but on their offspring if they are able to carry to term, because an awful lot of miscarriages and spontaneous abortions are taking place as a consequence of the vax.
I know. I've just heard all the stories that there's this guy that heads up Australia One. I don't know if I do not know if he's an attorney or not. I watch a lot of his videos. I was going to look him up and see if he's an attorney. But he says that these people have until October, till the end of October, to come clean and to admit that they have misled everybody in the world. And then the Nuremberg. He said they're gearing up for Nuremberg. 2.0.
The Nuremberg Code, yes, absolutely. Novak experimental procedure without no experimental procedure without informed consent. No experimental procedure that causes more harm than good. No experimental procedure that runs the risk of death or serious injury. All of the above are being violated here. I do think we're going to have a massive Nuremberg if we live so long, if the planet hasn't been completely captured in the meanwhile. Kelly, I can't thank you enough for joining me today. I appreciate all the phone calls from Bruce in Texas, Sal in Colorado, Scott from San Diego. I thought you were just wonderful, Kelly, and I'm just delighted and look forward to featuring you again on False Flag and Conspiracy 2021, which I'm organizing even as we speak.
Don't forget the CEO of Pfizer won't take the jab. He didn't want to cut in line, he said.
You got it, Kelly. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back on Monday. Bye-bye. Spend time with your friends and loved ones because we do not know how much time we have left.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect, Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.